Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday for this November 30th, 2019. Less than a week away of the high school basketball season. Where does the time fly?
I don't know. Next week we're talking high school football championships. But first things first, Chaz, we got to talk about our fine sponsors.
Indeed, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Always open online at caclfcu.org. They're voted the number one lending institution for the past
5 years.
Why is that? Because you won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Thank you to BG's Value Markets, 4 convenient locations for all of your holiday cookie making needs. Check them out, Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, and Minersville. They've got the flour, the sugar, the butter, the eggs, everything you need to make those beautiful, decadent cutout cookies for your holiday season. Stop by, check them out, and don't forget they've got the freshest hams for that Christmas dinner table, my friend.
Oh, if they were any fresher, you'd have to slap them.
That's right, and while you're at BG's or your favorite retail location, don't forget it is eggnog season!
And Gears Dairy makes the finest eggnog anywhere in the great old U.S. of A.
Don't forget their full dairy line from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice to stave off the colds and flus this season, and also the delicious iced tea and fruit drink products. It's Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the official hydrator WPPA Sports Saturday. And Chaz, you may be wearing a different jersey than I am. We're not all on the same team here, but you're a weekend warrior, and I'm a pro. If I need orthopedic care, where am I going?
You're going to St. Luke's University Health Network.
And so are you. So check them out online at ortho.org, or give them a call
at 1-866-ST-LUKE'S. Well, Doc, we have a big show lined up here this morning. We're going to talk about the arbiters, I guess you could say, the men in stripes.
What
in
is
the
an
fall,
arbiter?
Somebody that, you know, oversees a game. An official, referee.
Okay.
We're not going to make fun of them like we normally do during our broadcasts.
Oh, they're not going to bring in their canes?
He might. Our special guest today, of course, runner-up or third-place finisher. I'm not sure, because it's mere tenths of a percentage point that separated the top three from touchdown tips this year. But Joe Gerchuk will be coming along this morning to talk about the officiating profession and all that's involved with it, a little bit of the shortage, but also reviewing some things and just an inside look at what it's like to be Joe when he's an official.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun, but let me know when he walks in, because I know this touchdown tips rating thing or who's the king or whatever he's doing that show. It gets serious. So if he starts throwing haymakers, I don't want to get caught up in the middle of it.
No, there won't be any haymakers. Those picks are over. The results are in. There's not going to be any East German judge tiebreakers like they try to do, because I believe the sports director won, so he's not going to allow anything else to interfere with his wearing of the
crown.
But we do
winner.
Know this, that Larry and Charlie were cellar dwellers for the season, and that kind of made everybody happy.
You got to watch it. You know, these new ages that we're in, they're not cellar dwellers. They're foundations. That's where we build our block. They're the building blocks.
Well, I'll tell
they're
you
the
what.
Foundation.
They certainly are in the basement. So that's just the way it worked out for those cats this season. But it's been interesting, you know, working our way through. When you say it was the fastest 10 weeks of our life, it's. I mean, we're right now in week 15.
Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy at how quick things have progressed for high school football this season. I think the other big thing is Penn State's in their final regular season game today.
Yeah, and the final regular season Penn State preview comes your way 1:45 this afternoon. 2 o'clock, we go to the tailgate show outside the Bryce Jordan Center, and 3:30's kickoff. Senior day out at Beaver Stadium. They'll be honoring all the senior members of the ball club, and maybe honoring the final time that your buddy walks onto the turf. Leads
you
it
mean,
in the Lions out of the
game,
tunnel.
Big game might be gone.
Well,
these rumors swirled last year.
Yeah,
USC
remember
was taken.
Did.
That didn't happen.
But now I hear Florida State's in on the mix. Yeah, I mean, hey, James, you know, why do you want to be in the snow? You know, who wants to live in you know, where there's four seasons? Why not head to beautiful, sunny Southern California and find out how the University of Spoiled Children and the athletes they get there are? You mean, see if you find the same hard-working individuals.
I find it very interesting how a lot of the major national pundits will give James Franklin credibility. I saw it last week during the Ohio State game where they pulled up his record since he's been a head coach at Vanderbilt and now Penn State. And they were talking about, oh, he's never had a losing season, all these types of things, which is very true. But the problem is, in the conferences that James Franklin has coached in, the SEC and now the Big Ten, what big team has he defeated?
Yeah, I mean, you look back, you might say that he caught an Ohio State team that wasn't the caliber of this year's Ohio State team. Yeah, I mean, he got a win over Michigan when Michigan was down, but hey, they were still coached by Jim Harbaugh. And yeah, I mean, everybody that I know as a Michigan fan really doesn't think the best of Harbaugh. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he might have beat this one or that one on down seasons, on rebuilding seasons, reloading seasons, whatever you want to call them. You know, the amazing part about it is as you progress through the week, did you find it very interesting where a lot of people said the loss to Ohio State by Penn State has made the program credible because they didn't beat them as bad as they thought they were going to beat them? Okay, Vegas and all them and legal sports betting here in the state of Pennsylvania, we could talk about it. It was 19 points.
Yeah, it started the week at 21.
It was 19 points when it closed, okay? 19 points. And Penn State covers, as per the bettors, okay? Mm-hmm. Penn State covers. Now, we said this on Friday night. Last Friday night, I told Charlie, I said, Penn State covers. Yeah, I mean, it's always a battle year in and year out between Penn State and Ohio State. It's not going to be a 19-point victory one way or the other. Okay, Penn State covers. Well, people are talking like Penn State won the game. They didn't win the game.
Exactly. Covering spreads is not winning championships. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I like that. I like that.
You can use it.
That's almost as good as the Jimmys and the O's.
Right.
Or Jimmys and the Joes beat the X's and the O's.
I mean, you know, you're not paid to cover the spread, and if you are, then somebody's college administration is certainly off the charts.
I mean, I'm just the question is at this point in time, is there an opportunity for Penn State to improve on what they have? Yeah, I mean, James Franklin, maybe you and I don't like him, but there's a lot of people that feel James Franklin is doing the program a world of good by bringing young men into the program. Okay, bringing young men into the university, having that high success in the classroom. You know, and if you go back to the old, I mean, and we all talk about it, you know, God rest his soul, the Jopa days. And, you know, I mean, the grand experiment, you know, I mean, getting the athlete through the classes, getting them to graduate, and getting them to graduate with a respectable, you know, degree, a respectable GPA. You know, I mean, a lot of people feel that maybe that's something that Bill O'Brien didn't do. But Bill was also quick to say, hey, I'm not Joe Paterno. Okay, James Franklin, he doesn't feel one way or the other. He has that buffer of Bill O'Brien in there of a few years and what had happened with the program then, where James, I mean, a lot of people feel that he's building on that grand experiment that Jopa started, getting athletes in there, but also you know, taking those athletes that come in as boys, turning them into men, and setting them up for success. Not setting them up for success of, hey, you're going to play on a Sunday. Because you know and I know that the possibility of a young man that goes to Division I football school playing on a Sunday is very low. I mean, first off, a high school player going to a Division I program, the percentage is very low. Okay, look, I mean, Tyler Elson's going to Penn State. Okay, a Division I program. When was the last time we talked about somebody going to Penn State from around our region?
It might have been Gino Capone.
Okay, and then the time before that, Matt Stankevich. Yeah, I mean, so you're
Stankevich looking, was after
yeah,
Capone.
So you're looking. I mean,
Capone then Stankevich.
Every 5-7 years, we're sending somebody to a Division I school. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we had some guys go to Notre Dame back in the late '80s, early '90s. So the percentage of kids coming out of a high school going to a Division I program is low, and then the ones advancing from a Division I program to the NFL is even lower. So, I mean, what is he preparing these boys to do when they come into the program and leave as men? Is he preparing them for a career outside of football? And people like that. A lot of people, a lot of supporters of the university, the older supporters of the university, that's what they look for. You and I, we worry about the wins and the losses.
Not
they
me.
Don't.
I'm just worried about the used car snake oil salesman that I believe that he is. That's the part that bothers me, is the presentation and the way that he kind of carries himself. And when he's talking in press conferences after games, nothing is ever his fault.
Well, he doesn't take it. And that's why you call him the car salesman, because it's not his fault. He always deflects. He's, I didn't know that the motor was going to blow in 100 miles. The Marvel mystery oil that I put in there, helped it along to stop ticking.
But that's the part that bothers me. That, and, when you listen to him, it just doesn't seem genuine. And that's the part where I guess, he must come across genuine with the recruits that he gets. But when he sits down to discuss games and those kind of things, it's just, I don't know. It just he doesn't feel right to me.
Well, I think let's not avoid the elephant in the room, for lack of better terms. Okay. I know, and you were a Penn State fan.
Yep.
Way earlier than I was a Penn State fan, before I discovered the Nittany Lions.
True.
Okay. And why were you a Penn State fan? Because your neighbor had season tickets?
No, that's not why.
Took you to a game? Sold you some tickets?
Saw the tradition, saw the history. That's when college football was college football. Now it's more of a show when you go to these things.
It has
to be. I mean,
changed.
I'm not sure. I understand Notre Dame is still the college football vibe, and I want to experience that someday, but I can't work tickets out of Charlie. But, Penn State has turned into this grand, flashy show. You have to stand for the entire game. You can't sit and enjoy watching the football game. Out comes the band at halftime. Boom, boom, boom. During the game, it's just the band playing. There's no piped-in music. The whole, that's what I enjoyed about Penn State and college football. Now you have to stand. You have to jump. You have to, you listen to the music.
And,
they have all that piped in stuff for energy when it was up to the college band to get the energy in the building. So, that's why I like Penn State.
Okay. To me, that's what you're still looking for. It's like that steak dinner. You keep on going back to that same place, and the best steak you ever had.
Now when I go back to Penn State, I just feel old.
Well, and you're looking for your next scoop of grilled Stickies ice cream.
I am. The grilled Stickies that I had,
I had a
bowl. Yeah, exactly.
I
had a bowl full, and the rest of it's gone when it wasn't by me. But anyway, we're
going
to take a time out because our special guest this morning has arrived here at the studios, and we're going to talk to Joe Gerchak coming up here about officiating and the need and the desire and all those types of things. So we're going to step away, take a time out, and we're going to come back here on WPPA Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM worldwide at WPPARadio.com.
Catch the podcast on Google, Apple, or Anchor.fm.
If you're a business owner, you know that keeping track of your finances is a daily challenge. Make your banking as easy as it can be at CACL Financial. CACL Financial is the convenient, cost-effective, and friendly place to do your business banking. If you're a business that's located in or does business in Schuylkill County, become a member today. What makes a business banking relationship with CACL Financial better for you? We have business deposit accounts, free checking, and no maintenance fees and no minimum deposits. Need financing? CACL Financial offers business loans of all kinds and merchant services too. CACL Financial, business banking the way it was meant to be. That's why we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County in the Reader's Choice poll for the fifth consecutive year. Call 570-628-2400 to learn more or online at caclfcu.org. Like us on Facebook. A better business banking relationship is just one step away at CACL Financial. Member NCUA Equal Housing Lender.
Save more shopping at BG's Value Markets, Minersville, Pine Grove, Jonestown, and Millersburg. Now through Monday, December 2nd. Best yet, boneless whole smoked hams, $2.28 per pound. Shady Brook fresh turkeys, just $1.48 per pound. Bob Evans side dishes, $3.18. ASK Foods cranapple orange salad, $3.68 a pound. Philadelphia cream cheese, 8-ounce package, $1.68. Store baked dinner rolls, $1.18. 10-inch fruit pies, $6.88. Sweet yams, 58 cents per pound. Brussels sprouts, $1.48 per pound. 36-count Best Yet K-Cups, $7.18. Daisy sour cream, $1.48. Hanover Gold Line veggies, 2 for $3. 5-pound bags of Gold Medal flour, $2.08. And Nestle baking cups, $2.68. BG's Value Markets, where freshness, quality, and service are number one. In Minersville, Pine Grove, Jonestown, and Millersburg. Shop and save every day at BG's Value Markets.
Sands Ford of Pottsville is celebrating Black Friday all month long. That's right, we're celebrating Black Friday now till the end of the month. With deals like these, they're too good to offer for only one day. Stop by and see for yourself Sands Ford's outstanding discounts. Combined with factory finance and lease specials on most new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs, you'll feel like the holidays are already here. Black Friday savings all month long at Sands Ford of Pottsville, Route 61 South, online at sandsfordofpottsville.com, where we make it easy.
Rebate and finance specials not available on all models.
From hibiscus to geraniums and other vibrant blooms, Herbst Decker of Sailorsburg loves working in his greenhouse. But a fall a few years ago left him unable to lift his arm. With a badly separated shoulder, Herb turned to St. Luke's Orthopedic Care. With full function and without pain, Herb continues to be a happy gardener. No separated shoulder was going to stop his green thumb. Find Herb's extraordinary story at ortho.sluhn.org. Or for information on St. Luke's Orthopedic Care, call 1-866-ST-LUKE's.
Welcome back, WPPA Sports Saturday. Don't forget 1:45 for the Penn State preview. The tailgate show from Beaver Stadium gets underway at 2 p.m. And then it's play-by-play action with Steve Jones and Jack Hamm at 3:30 as Penn State taking on the Scarlet Knights.
They are the Scarlet Knights.
It's two Scarlets back-to-back. And I mean, because it's Scarlet and Gray, Ohio State. Yeah, see, you thought it was just red and gray. It's Scarlet and Gray. You got to know some Ohio State fans are off the wall, just like our next guest here.
Oh, thanks.
Some people could say he's off the wall as he's officiating basketball games, football games, and also spring sports. We welcome Joe Gerchak, one of our own here. You hear him on Touchdown Tips, but he's here to talk about officiating. And Joe, you're not here to talk about rules. You're talking about a shortage of officials coming up in this winter sports season.
Oh, definitely. It's a shortage all year round. It's incredible. Not a lot of young people coming in. The people that are coming in aren't old school. They're not, when you were taught when you started, this will be season 44 in basketball. When somebody called you and you were open, you took it. Nowadays, you call somebody and say, hey, I need, where is it at? I mean, nobody wants to travel. You know, how much is it? I mean, there's a lot of ifs, ands, buts, ors, or nors, but yeah, we don't have a lot of the old school guys coming. There's young guys coming, but they're not from that school. It's a different school. They're from charter schools, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that you mean to be correct. I mean, we're talking PIAA, so it's boundary non-boundary.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Let's use the political correct terms. But you know, you talk about that, Joe, and I mean, we usually poke fun. You know, I mean, you, Coop, and Rizzo, and Del Houck, all the older guys that have been doing this for an amount of time, and we don't see you getting teamed up. You're teamed up together or whatever. You're not teamed up with a lot of young kids. And you mean, how does somebody get involved and become an official?
Well, they just have to take the test, and then away we go. We'll figure out something for them. For example, this week we'll be like meeting three or four of our season so far in basketball. We had the interpretation meeting, which, when you ask about rule changes, basically nothing. A couple of things about headbands. I mean, and trivial stuff that'll come up in girls' games where you'll have some official that wants to make a name for his or herself that's going to worry about the headband, you know, which, who cares? I mean, it doesn't make the person a better player or whatever. But Sunday we're going to move our meeting up to that Mecca in Girardville so that we can have an on-court meeting. And, you know, Mike Klimbauer is our interpreter. He'll go over all the stuff, show some positioning to the new guys and stuff, and hopefully that they pay attention. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, they want to be up in the varsity in a year or two, and you can get eaten alive. It's a whole different ballgame.
Right, and that's the whole part of it, Joe, where I think, you know, guys get into it, and they get upset right away when they don't get the show,
right,
so to speak. And I mean, I can remember when I started and the same when you started. You were down till you earned your keep, so to speak. You had to hone your craft. And, you know, I don't believe it's any different today. When I started in baseball, Mickey Little called me and said, hey, come on, we're going to go to the field. I want to show you some stuff
right.
so you can become a better umpire.
Right.
And, you know, I can remember I umpired with Tommy Kramer before he was coaching Blue Mountain.
Correct.
A teener league game. And these guys were there to work you through. And I think people believe they know everything about the game until you pick up the book. You really don't.
Oh, it's the rules are brutal. I mean, there are things you just don't know until it happens, and we see it on TV. You see it on these games where guys are getting, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a game, basketball, college basketball, and a rule comes up and they don't know it. I mean, you know, and you just hey, it's just something that you hope that you know it when it happens. That's what we worry about, and we hopefully get it right. Knock on wood.
Well, we let you know when you don't.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. We're, and if you don't, Powers does. I mean, yeah. Yeah, JP has some good terms.
So, no big changes in the world of basketball besides some attire or accessories.
Correct.
But, you know, there were some big changes, Joe, coming into the football season, which have been implemented now for, you know, 14 weeks. You've been out there and been working along with the new changes, the 40 and the 25-second clock. I'll be honest with you. I thought it was great. I thought they were all almost like Gerchuk run games throughout the season.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Pre-nine. You know? years ago, I remember we were in a pregame. I wasn't the white hat at the time. And we had a very anal white hat referee. And he was saying, like, what rule do you want to go over? I said, B4-9. He said, what do you mean? B4-9. I said, we want to be done B4-9. That's what we want to be done. So he didn't take too well to it, but that's life. You know, I'm still reffing and he's not. I don't care. You know? But yeah, I think the 40-second clock was phenomenal. Some coaches, though, didn't pay attention. I mean, we had a game whereby if the coach would have paid attention, it was over. It was two knees and over. I don't know who convinced them that 128 means 128 seconds versus 88 seconds. And they ran a play, fumbled. The other team, who was down by 6 points or 7 points, got the ball and almost won the game. It ended up with a Hail Mary for a touchdown, and it came down to the two-point conversion. If the coach or one of his 92 assistants, which when you're winning, you have 92 assistants, okay? Why they didn't say, like, hey, they have one timeout left. We take two knees. We have first and 10. Game's over. No, let's run the ball. Let's fumble. Let's, you know, now it becomes the referee's problem, you know?
You know, the interesting thing when that was implemented, I thought the referees probably will have a good handle on it, but you have to rely on clock operators, where I thought the bigger problem would. And I didn't see that in our coverage of games, where the clock operators had a hard time. Maybe once they didn't catch that it's a 25-second situation, they put 40 on.
Right, right.
But other than that, I mean, I thought the clock operators really got it. Did you guys have to meet with them before games?
They usually come in before the game, yeah. But the other thing is, as at North Schuylkill, your back judge has the 40-second clock. So it's pretty easy for the referee. It's another thing that he has to do back there, you know, a.k.a. Freddie Mac or whatever. And, you know, it worked out. And again, hopefully in the years to come, the schools that have a couple of dollars can buy the 40-second clocks, because it's a big difference when you have the 40-second clocks in the end zone versus, you know, waiting for, you know, your back judge to put his hand up or whatever like that, you know. And again, in the Schuylkill League, where you only have five officials, that makes a real big difference.
And that was where I was going to go next. I mean, it's a little easier for a back judge when the seven-man crew is in, I would imagine. And there are certain schools that have migrated to seven at home games.
Right. Basically, the bigger schools, North Schuylkill, Tamaqua, Pottsville, Lee Heighton, Jim Thorpe, that whole division, other than Blue Mountain, went to seven this year. So that's a welcome change. But then when you talk about shortage of officials, that's what happens. I mean, that was a big thrust when it went to seven in the Lehigh Valley, because you had people reffing that, man, they're just in it a couple of weeks, some of them. And, you know, they're at the side judge or the field judge, so...
You know, Joe, when you talk about the seven, you know, it brings me up to talk about, you know, coming into the basketball season. I know we've made a push and we tried to make a push, you know, I mean, officials and, you know, I mean, I think fans alike, to get those three officials out on that court for Schuylkill League games, because it seemed like when we'd end up in the district playoffs and in the state playoffs, we sort of had a little bit of a disadvantage. We weren't used to that extra set of eyes.
Right. And I guess Pottsville will went to three, sometimes Lehigh. And they have the choice now. They can go to three if they want, but you know, they just choose with the fiscal responsibility, and they don't go to it because it does make life a lot easier. It doesn't cause more fouls. It really doesn't. Players are a little bit cleaner because they know that the third official is basically, his job is the paint in the middle there, where there's not a lot of push and shoving going on other than, you know, your normal Schuylkill League basketball, you know.
You know, Joe, the interesting thing that could really hamper the idea of going to three in the Schuylkill League, next year, it's my understanding, a lot of the school's 7th and 8th grade girls programs are going to migrate to the winter. And should that occur, that's another set of officials that might be taken out on certain game nights.
Right, and then you have some places that don't have a lot of courts. You know, Tri-Valley only has one court out there. Williams Valley has two, but It's a tough situation. It might help get some younger officials in, you know, but then again, you might get the 2020 official who the younger guy who just doesn't care, like, oh, I only have a junior high game, you know. Hey, you got to start somewhere, man, you know.
You know, when you talk about you got to start somewhere and all that, it sort of takes me back to, I mean, I remember, I mean, some of you guys showing up at, you know, midget league games in my youth and showing up at teener league games and all that. Joe, as a typical official, I mean, you're not just out on a Friday night in a fall sports league. You're not, or fall sports season. You're out on a Monday night.
Oh, you got
doing
it. You
JV
have to.
Games, doing freshman games.
You have to. I mean, there's just not enough officials. I mean, I do the assigning for the midget football league, and it's tough some Sundays to get a crew together. I mean, I have a regular crew, and then I've had to migrate out to bring in a crew from Hazleton. I bring in a crew from the Poconos. It's due to the fact that there just aren't enough officials, and so it's not like, oh yeah, he's at every game. Well, yeah, it's either that or you have no game. You know, that's a situation, and that's in every sport. I do teener league baseball. Sometimes brutal in the summer to get somebody to go to umpire. You know, especially when you look at the weather and next three nights are going to be 98 degrees. Well, I really, you know, my wife said this, my own, you know, that kind of situation. It puts you in a bind.
You know, Joe, you said this is what, year 44 for you
this
in basketball?
Season 44, basketball and baseball, yep.
My goodness. Now, for doing it that long, there has to be something rewarding in this. What's the reward for Joe Gerchak to be doing this for that long?
Just the love of the sport. I mean, and the people you meet, the people that you meet throughout, I mean, between administration, fellow officials, players. I mean, you know, at CACL, my business in the loan department, it thrives because I basically know everybody. I mean, try to be friendly to people. You try to have a good time on the basketball court, on the football field, on the baseball diamond. And people know that that's, you know, I hope when they see that I'm there, it's like, well, we're going to get a fair game today because he has a good time doing what he does. And I do. I mean, it's still a pleasure to do. It's something you look forward to. And your big reward, Chaz, is you set a goal. You set a goal and say, hey, you know, the goal last Saturday was the first scrimmage for the 44th season. I want to end the year in Hershey. That's where I want to end the year. You know, might be far-fetched idea because there's, you know, 14,000 officials, but who knows? You don't know. You know?
Have you ever done a state championship? Or?
Yeah, I've done four. I've done basketball, two baseballs, and one football. So I've gotten there, you know. You want to go back. The basketball one was in 91, which was the last year of two officials. So I would like to get one shot at three. Your problem there is basically if you want to get into the girls' side, you need a girl official, and we're hurting there for lady officials up in the area. You know, so we have a couple coming. You know, a couple of North School graduates coming in, and they're getting better every year. And hopefully, you know, they take somebody on the road because our chapter is one of the bigger chapters. We have about 75, maybe 80 basketball officials. And again, still that's not enough because, you know, the times are all the different games and whatnot. But we haven't had anybody in Hershey in a long, 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 long time. And I don't know who to blame, because I think we have some good officials. And especially on the girls' side, what upsets me is that the Schuylkill League for years and years and years and years always has a couple teams in there. Mm-hmm. You know, don't you realize like what it's like on a night? You guys do some girls' basketball during the season, yeah, on the off nights or whatever. There's bigger crowds at some of the girls' games, you know, and there's more rivalries. There's more people that dislike each other in basketball.
It all goes back to the early 90s.
Yeah,
and the
definitely.
Mid-90s,
yeah,
late 90s.
You had your North Schuylkills, you had your Nativities, you had your Monterey areas. I mean, they're pretty.
You had your Pine Groves.
Oh, Pine Grove every year. Yeah, yeah. You know, if you worked, I don't know if they understood, if you worked for Rod and Ren, you worked. You worked, man. You put out an effort. Elsie Tolan, you know, let's go back to the Marion days. I mean, they had some phenomenal basketball teams. The Nativity team that year that they won the state championship, I think they would have beaten any team, A to 4A at that time.
Wow.
You know, that was a phenomenal team.
You know, Joe, one of the things that I always, I mean, obviously there's tradition and stuff, and I mean, you don't wear the same uniform. You may wear the same shirt, the same top, but you don't always wear the same pants. In football, you wear like, it almost looks like a wind pant, sort of with the white down it. In basketball, it looks like you have tuxedo pants on. And in baseball, you have like a light gray wool on with patent leather.
Right. Yes.
Where does that all come from? Do you know the history of that stuff?
No, I really don't. I know that they change every once in a while so that they can make money. So as next year, you'll probably see 2-inch stripes will be mandatory in football, you know, and then I'm sure it's not far around the corner. As you see, the collegiate referees now have a new arm type or whatever. I'm sure that's right around the corner, because, you know, these official suppliers have to make their money too, you know. So,
Joe, let's go back a couple of questions where you were talking about the relationships that you built. I can remember as a young athlete participating in a game in which you were behind the plate. Ooh. And I would step into the box. Now, nothing. This has nothing to do with Joe's calls for balls and strikes. I mean, you knew you were up there to swing the bat when Joe came, because if you didn't, he was going to call. Let's move on. That's easy. That's a good official. You know what to expect when you go in there, and it's consistent. But the part that grabbed me was, I'm getting ready to stand in to hit, and he's cracking jokes back there to the catcher. And I'm laughing. And here comes his big curveball. And I can't even do anything because I'm laughing. You know, that stuck with me as a young man, that, you know, that relationship that you're building with the guy in front of you in baseball is so critical, and that's what was going on. It wasn't to screw me up, but it was just fun, and that was the part where you wanted to participate when Joe was coming in, because you wanted to go up and hear what you were saying behind the plate.
Let's have a good time. Yeah, I never forget a catcher. I really don't. They're your bodyguards, and again, with the shortage of umpires, there's a lot of umpires that just do the bases. So, you know, if I have a 25 game schedule, 23 are behind the plate. You know,
I always talk about this, the unwritten set of rules between the umpire and the catcher. Catcher takes one off the, let's say, foot. All right, the umpire gets up, he takes his time, he walks around, he dusts off the plate.
Correct.
Now the umpire takes one off the face mask. A foul ball hits your face mask. The catcher walks out. Is that a rule? Is that onset, unwritten type of rule?
That's an unwritten rule, but I mean, as soon as you get waffled with a foul ball or whatever, you know, you'll hear the coach say, you know, like, hey, Michael, go out and talk to the pitcher or whatever. I mean, they do protect you. And the same thing, you have to keep your catcher in one piece. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, he's the difference. And like when he blocks that 58-foot curveball or whatever, and I'll bang him on the back and say, from me and my family, thank you very much. You know, thanks for stopping that one. I appreciate that. So.
You know, Joe, when you take a look at the basketball season that's coming up, and I know the schools are the ones that have really nixed the three officials, but with the lack of officials and the age of officials, at some point, something's got to give.
Right. Yeah, definitely. The three-man will save you. It'll save a lot of officials. It'll keep officials in it longer. I know a couple of Lehigh Valley football officials are getting out, white hats that they're just getting too old for it and stuff like that. And if they get pulled up into working in this league where there's only five officials, it's a lot harder than having the seven officials. Basketball is the same thing. A lot of guys just say, that's enough. I just can't take it anymore. If we went to three, that'd be excellent. A lot of guys now just say they'll work the Lehigh Valley because they only have three officials there at all games. So.
Right, it's interesting. The Lehigh Valley uses three officials. District 4 uses three officials.
Right, the Heartland does,
yes. District 2, I believe, uses three officials.
Yep.
As does District 3. It seems like the pocket right in the middle of District 11 is where the third official is non-existent.
Right. Because, if you go out to Lion Mountain to do a game, you have three officials. So that's what, District 3 out there or whatever. You know. And the Heartland's had three officials for the last 10
but
years.
I'm thinking, if I'm thinking correctly, you know, in a regular season game, I've heard, numbers being tossed around. I mean, you're not looking at something that's killer. I mean, you're not talking $1,000 more. You know what I mean? You're talking, some pennies. You know?
Maybe not per game, but over the course of a season, you're talking more than $1,000. I mean,
you're talking about a grand usually because you have 11 home games, you know. Football, to have two officials again, you're probably talking in the area of, $800 to $1,000 for a sport. I mean, they waste money on other things.
I know, you could attest to that. There's, you'll waste, all of a sudden they put up a turf field. No.
Does that not save officials?
Oh, that saves officials. That saves time. Officials. That's just a wonderful situation. You wake up on a Saturday morning or on a Tuesday after a doubleheader there or any time. Yeah, there's no pain. It's beautiful.
Nice try, Doc.
Hopefully Haven. I think Haven's redoing theirs for next year. That'll be nice because that's in about its 12th season. That has seen better days. Hazleton redid theirs last year. Big difference. I mean, huge difference. And everything gets better every time. It's a much, much better field and stuff.
You remember when they first started, it was something like you put on your porch.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, it's this stuff, integrate it with some rubber pellets.
Yes. Give me those pellets in my socks every time, please.
Joe, you said people could take the test to become involved. And I think the younger generation, the guys that are, in college now or getting out of college now, who were athletes.
Right.
They need to start thinking, well, maybe this is a way for kids to get the same opportunities I've had, because without officials, you said it, the games aren't going to happen.
Right.
Because somebody's got to be there. And this is where you talk about Powers and how eloquent he talks about officials. He always says that the official's job is to control the temperament of the contest. They're not there to control the contest, just the temperament.
Right.
Make sure the rules are being followed, make sure everybody stays cool,
right,
and just play the game.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, in a football situation, you're walking off the field. Hey, we had no personal fouls. We had nothing stupid. We had no late hits. We had no out-of-bounds hits. We had no unnecessary roughness. Beautiful. And in some games, you're walking out saying, how many did we have? Well, we had six personal fouls today, and they were all deserved, but it's a situation you try to hold on to. But they can go online and do the test now. I mean, everything's up to date now.
Wow.
I mean, it's just go online. You got to get an 80, and good luck. Then I'll get a little letter that says they're an official, and pass it on to Mr. D'Angelo, and hopefully they get games. And they'll get games because there's so many games out there. I mean, there's just a situation where the more numbers, they'll work if they want to. But don't first three phone calls or first three emails. I can't, because then don't worry, you won't.
Opportunity won't keep on coming
back.
The interesting thing, and I know this is a game you weren't a part of just by the sheer volume of what I'm about to tell you, but this past Saturday there was a collegiate game at Susquehanna between Susquehanna and Wilkes. 17 personal foul calls in the game. Now, when you get to two, don't you think whoever the crew is has an opportunity right there to start to curb
Let's stop
things?
This, yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, you summed it up. I mean, the crew I work with in football all do other sports, and we're not the fastest. I mean, we're not, there won't be any Usain Bolt out there or anything like that. But we worry about the temperament, like you said, on the field. We control the field. That's the big thing. I mean, you might have to give a couple expletive deletives now and then to a kid, and they wake up in a hurry. I mean, they understand. You know, sometimes that helps, and if you can control that, that's all that makes it so much easier. Because if the temperament out there on the field, you know, they're pushing, shoving, or whatever, that carries over to the coaching staff. The coaching staff carries it up into the bleachers. Now you got a problem. You know, so you just try to quell it early.
And that could be another reason why people don't want to get into basketball officiating in particular. Oh. You talk about the bleachers. You hear everything in a gym. It's
definitely.
Like you're trying to be a rabbit.
No.
But you hear it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they're right on the court. You know, you're in a situation out of Pine Grove where they're so close to you, Williams Valley, so close to you, Tri-Valley. I mean, you know, people are right on you. It's a tough situation. You know, you just try to bite your tongue. You know, because I know there's a couple of times you'll hear something, and I'll think, you know, 20 years ago I would have turned around, but whatever. You know, I am the pharmacist's best friend, because I sell more blood pressure pills for those people in the bleachers for them to make their money on, because, you know, I just smile at them. You know, oh, you keep on smiling. Yeah, whatever. You know, hey, you know.
I'm here.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, if you think I'm doing that bad of a job. Yeah. Here's the website. Yeah. Take the test.
Yeah, there you go. It's right online. Go home tonight and take it, you know. Whatever.
I mean, what I found was this side of the game is more fun for me than being on the officiating side. And, you know, it's a little bit.
I'd see that direct opposite in football. When I was doing the sidelines in football, I was like, nah, I can ref this. And then I left Billy and came here, you know, came into that.
Wow, I didn't know Gerchak's evolution.
The evolution started at your workplace. That's where it started. sitting at a desk in the library, believe it or not, I was in the library.
Wow.
That might have been a rare occasion.
Did they have coffee there? Free coffee?
No. It must have been snowing or something. But anyway, that was at the time when you talk about shortage of officials, where you could become a softball umpire without taking a test or anything. They just didn't have enough people. And Joe Costa at the time was the assigner.
That's my neighbor.
Right, there you go. Well, Joe Costa Sr., may he rest in peace, good guy. And he came over and he said, any of you guys want to learn how to umpire? I said, well, I did Little League for my dad and stuff. And he gave me a card. He said, send that and $5 to the PIAA. And about 3 or 4 days later, I get in the mail a PIAA patch. Congratulations, you're now a PIAA softball umpire. I went down to the Skook, and I said to Mr. Costa, I got my thing today. He says, do you have a class this afternoon? I said, yeah. I said, geology. He said, can you miss it? I said, yeah, why not? You know? He said, do you have blue pants? I said, no, not really. This was when they were the blue ones yet.
Yeah.
He said, well, can you stop at Hills and get a pair of Dickies? Hills was still open at the time. I said, yeah. He said, do you have a light blue shirt? I said, no. He said, well, get one of those also and get a black hat, and you're at Monterey City at 4 o'clock. And that's how it began 44 years ago.
Oh, wow. Were you behind a plate?
I was on the bases. I had no clue what I was doing. I was, and it was with Dot Demmer. I bring it up to Dot all the time. I say, Dot, it began with you.
Right, but the interesting thing at the time, you always had somebody there to walk you through the ropes,
right?
And that still occurs today, whether people want to believe that or not.
Right. Yeah, somebody, you know, as a veteran official, I like working with a young kid and too. You try to help them. You know, I tell them before the game, you do your game. Just don't worry about me, okay? Don't worry about anything I'm doing, because I'm not going to change. I mean, there'll be very little whistles unless they're, you know, it's like a fine wine. There's not call before it's time, okay? And you just go from there. It's a situation where, you know, I'll help you, whatever.
Yeah. Wow. So now we found out the secret of Gerchak. He waits until it is age perfect.
That's right. It's got to be a final. It has to have a bearing on the play. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't understand that.
I'll steal a line from John Powers.
That's the 3-second rule to me. When you get out of our area and you see these guys calling 3 seconds, the ball is at the high post, completely away from everything. The kid's not even looking inside. There's no advantage to be gained. He's just slow going through.
That's it.
Beep!
Yep. Three seconds. Yeah.
And you kind of scratch your head thinking, for what?
Yep. Or the worst one that just drives me crazy is a football. You know, they're running off left tackle, and play's over and you look and there's a flag, you know, 60 yards on the other side, on the right side of the field. Oh, I think that guy was holding. What was he holding? Who was he holding? Who cares? You know?
Yeah, it was irrelevant to the play. It was
This.
It was the wide receiver out here holding a defensive back who was.
Yeah, watch this. I'll pick it up. Here, we'll take care of this. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's interesting. And the ones that, you know, we're critical of officials. You bust us all the time about it.
Well, whatever.
You know, or like 30 yards behind a play. That one gets me because I don't. Is it somebody just reacting late with the flag, or is it really something that is?
Yeah, unless it's a cheap shot. I mean, I guess that was about 3 years ago where they put in, you know, the defenseless player and stuff like that. And that's a good rule. It is a good rule. I mean, because years ago it was a good hit. You know, if you were running in for a touchdown. And Belly was at the 35 because he was hustling after you. And somebody cleans his clock. Well, that was a great hit 10 years ago. Now it's, you know, 15 yards. And if the referee is in a bad mood, he's going to pull the touchdown back on the poor kid, too. You know, so. They have changed that.
Joe, you know, through all your years, who are some of the greatest athletes that you've had, and I guess I could say, the privilege of calling a game that they were participating in?
Chris Nabholz could, if you put a dime on the edge of the plate, he could put the ball over it. I mean, he was the most fun to watch pitching. Jeff Yoder's a ball that exploded. His ball exploded. Blankenhorn does have the fastest wrists, you know, that... you know, now he made the 40-man roster.
Yeah,
that'd be great. You know, see somebody from Schuylkill County make the major leagues. Frankie Bolick, when he was at Mount Carmel, I had one game where he came up the first time, hit one about 400 feet left-handed. Came up the second time, hit one about 420 feet right-handed. Came up the third time and hit another one left-handed up at Mount Carmel, where there's a school now. I mean. And you know, Frank was just a small, you know, but he a fast wrist, bang, you know, he could hit the ball. You know, basketball, we really don't have the big stars. You know, we don't have anybody that's going to go D1. I know parents say that when they're in fifth and sixth grade, that I have colleges looking at my kid. Yeah, okay, I got you.
Fifth and sixth grade.
Yeah, I remember.
We're recruiting young now. You know?
Yeah, I remember years ago there was a player at down at one of the southern schools here in the county, and I remember somebody telling me before the game, do you know Notre Dame's looking at him? I said, yeah, Notre Dame of Green Pond. That's who's looking at him. You know, yeah, come on, seriously. You know, the difference is just phenomenal. I mean, there's no way you can say he's a D1. He's a D1, you know. But, you know, there's been some good ones that have come through, you know. Reggie Crawford this year. I mean, if somebody can figure out how to get that strike zone at 92, 93 miles an hour from the left side, but I think he can also hit like a madman too, and you couldn't meet a nicer kid. That's the big thing, man. At the end of the day, I don't care. You know, if somebody's like, oh, he's really good, but he thinks he is. You know, I'll never mention him. I couldn't care less. You know, but somebody that's a good kid. You know, again, out of your North Schuylkill, Little last year, the catcher. There's another one that kept me protected for 4 years, kept me in one piece. You know, he's. Marty Brophy, I guess he went into the minor leagues there for a couple of years. I mean, there was one where, you know, 6'5" catcher, nothing like it, baby. That's like having a backstop in front of you and behind you. Benny Anchev out of Williams Valley.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler Herb. You know, hopefully he gets makes that one break. You know,
let's not forget. The friend of the show. I know he's waiting for his name. He's the best pitcher. He has a baseball card with a mullet. Mike Farr.
Well, yeah, Farr. The Farr era was a lot of fun too, because they had Schwenk and they had Farr, and that was before the pitching rule was in existence and whatnot. And Scotty Buffington would start Schwenk, and Schwenk couldn't break a pane of glass, but he threw strikes. And he would pitch the first three innings. Sometimes they could even get him into the fourth. And then Mike Farr would come in throwing 88, 90, and it was over. It was finished business. I mean, it, and again, it was, you know, there was no pitching rule or anything back then. And, yeah, Farr could do it. You know, he definitely could do it. He threw, and he could hit, too. He could also hit. He hit one at Whitehall in a district final. I guess it was a district final. And it probably went 400-some feet, and the kid caught it. I mean, I know he wasn't a happy camper, you know. But nowadays they try to play at fields that have fences
and
stuff like
that. Yeah, that Copley was, you know, I never understood when I first broke into this. How they could even play district games there.
You know, yeah. If it hits the wire and it comes down in fair, it's like hitting a wall. If it's foul, it's dead. Like, yeah, come on, you know, let's get around that.
It's like putting them in the frack field.
But now you know, it's great now because you have the sales, you have the AAA park, which they Coca-Cola park.
Yeah.
They let you use that sometimes. The sales was wonderful this year, though. That was a great situation. In fact, I think it was even better for high school baseball because you had the small bleachers, which when they're full, it's a lot more fun than when you're over at the Coca-Cola Park and there's, you know, 400 people, but there's room for 6,000, you know. So.
No, I agree. We did a game at both facilities this year, and it was the first time I was at the sales. And they were excited about having high school baseball games there throughout the early part of the summer, and they were hoping to continue that into the future. And it's a neat setup with the patio and the little press box, like you said. There's a little bleachers, but then they have the seating behind it, and I mean, it was really neat to see how facilities have changed for kids to be able to get those big time opportunities and still be in high school.
Right And they you know, that's a nice recruiting tool for DeSales. I mean, you know, as long as you don't dump 60,000 a year, you're fine there, you know.
As soon as you bring out that price tag, you know what I mean? We gotta attach this $60,000 price tag to your party.
But it's a beautiful field.
College ain't cheap.
That's true.
Everybody's getting looked at by one, you know. And
definitely. Yeah, I have seven schools calling me.
I have seven schools calling me. Yeah. Turn here on Tech, Shepton Institute of.
You know, Joe, when you take a look at the 44th year here, the goal is, your personal goal is to work your way through this season, get evaluated up to officiate at the back end of the season.
Right. You want to ref in late February, early March. You know, you want to make it to the districts. You want to make it to, you know, get your letter that you're at least in the pool for the state playoffs, you know. And then you last year was the first year the state went to our arbiter system, which is the computer. So, you know, you only check the computer every 34 seconds to see if you got a game. Yeah, that's all.
I heard John Cooper, he had you checking for him, too, because he's not very good on
computers. No, he's not very good at all. No. And I guess the signal at Second Mountain isn't as good as it should be.
At what point do you and Coop have to go for your value bundled eye exam?
Well, we get a deal on it. You know, now we're both senior citizens, so we're okay.
Now stop picking on him. He was nice enough to join us this morning.
Coop uses a can notice of Golden Pilsner over one eye. And
can? He must have really cut back in retirement. They must have cut him back
He works at the beer distributor.
He
works at the beer distributor. He's in.
Well, Joe, when you take a look at this season coming up, we look forward to seeing you on the hardwood. I'll talk to John. We don't get too many games that we have.
No. I try to shy away from Pottsville, to be honest with you. My both kids played there and stuff, and Tanner's tight with Mulaney, so really don't you don't want that. That's another thing. Like, a lot of these new guys, they'll start moving up, and all of a sudden it'd be like, you went to school there like 3 years ago. And, you know, sometimes D'Angelo doesn't know where these people went to school or where they're tied in, or, you know, the guy's wife works in the school district. It's like, you're letting yourself open. You know, don't be stupid. You know, don't be stupid. Stay away from that. There's plenty of games to go around. There's plenty of games. Don't worry that you're not going home, you know.
I think I found a financial niche for Joe.
What's that?
The Joe Gerchak Umpiring School.
that's something that you had to do right out of high school or college, you know, if you wanted to go that route.
Well,
you know?
I got him for financial advisor, Joe Gerchak Financial Advisor. I'm going to take some money, throw it into Pfizer, and throw it into some of the other drug companies. He's got them.
The blood pressure pill. Diavan.
I'm off and rolling. Yeah. Let's invest, buddy.
Yeah, go with it, man, because I'll keep on smiling no matter what. What they say, they're not going to beat me. I'm sorry, it's too late now.
Well, Joe, we want to thank you for joining us this morning here.
Great pleasure.
Saturday.
Pleasure to do it.
Yeah, it was great having a nice little sit-down chat with Joe. I mean, usually we're yelling from the sideline, or he comes by the table there and gives some kind of wise crack. We give him, hey, Gerchak, 9 o'clock is...
I enjoy being at Mart's Hall. I'm away from it all.
There you go. Yeah, so are we, basically. I mean, that's a pretty good situation. And then all the Lehigh Valley courts are pretty big, too. But, you know, you still got to go elsewhere.
Well, Joe, we will catch up with you here. Well, I guess starting next week, it all gets underway.
Yep. Yeah. Next Friday. Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a great holiday, and
we'll be out and about.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
The best thing about basketball season, it's inside. It's warm.
Oh yeah, you just got to get there. You just have to get there. You got to worry about the ice and the snow and stuff.
And get home.
But once you get there, once you get there, at least you have that opportunity. That does beat football. There's
modern facilities too.
Yes.
Running water.
Yes. We won't get into that. We'll get into that next time.
We'll be back on WPPA Sports Saturday. Wrap up the program here on AM 1360, 106 FM, worldwide at WPPARadio.com.
Missed the show? Don't fret. We're on your favorite podcast sites, Apple, Google, and we're hosted by Anchor.fm. Check us out. It's WPPA Sports Saturday.
From hibiscus to geraniums and other vibrant blooms, Herbst Decker of Sailorsburg loves working in his greenhouse. But a fall a few years ago left him unable to lift his arm. With a badly separated shoulder, Herb turned to St. Luke's Orthopedic Care. With full function and without pain, Herb continues to be a happy gardener. No separated shoulder was going to stop his green thumb. Find Herb's extraordinary story at ortho.sluhn.org. Or for information on St. Luke's Orthopedic Care, call 1-866-ST-LUKES.
If you're a business owner, you know that keeping track of your finances is a daily challenge. Make your banking as easy as it can be at CACL Financial. CACL Financial is the convenient, cost-effective, and friendly place to do your business banking. If you're a business that's located in or does business in Schuylkill County, become a member today. What makes a business banking relationship with CACL Financial better for you? We have business deposit accounts, free checking, and no maintenance fees and no minimum deposits. Need financing? CACL Financial offers business loans of all kinds and merchant services too. CACL Financial, business banking the way it was meant to be. That's why we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County in the Reader's Choice poll for the fifth consecutive year. Call 570-628-2400 to learn more or online at caclfcu.org. Like us on Facebook. A better business banking relationship is just one step away at CACL Financial. Member NCUA Equal Housing Lender.
Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road is the county's oldest family-owned dairy. Gears prides themselves on their high standards and offers quality produced milk products, as well as orange juice, fruit drinks, and their very own popular iced tea. Right now, make Gears delicious eggnog a part of your holiday gathering. Look for Gears products in your favorite supermarket or convenience store. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. Phone 570-277-6611.
Sands Ford of Pottsville is celebrating Black Friday all month long. That's right, we're celebrating Black Friday now till the end of the month. With deals like these, they're too good to offer for only one day. Stop by and see for yourself Sands Ford's outstanding discounts. Combined with factory finance and lease specials on most new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs, you'll feel like the holidays are already here. Black Friday savings all month long at Sands Ford of Pottsville, Route 61 South, online at sandsfordofpottsville.com, where we make it easy.
Rebate and finance specials not available on all models.
Welcome back, WPPA Sports Saturday. Don't forget, 1:45 Penn State preview. 2 o'clock is the tailgate show. 3:30 kickoff, Penn State Senior Day, Beaver Stadium. The Nittany Lions will take on the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers.
Well, I'm surprised there was no Steve, Jack, or Roger and Matt will be hamming it up.
No. You yelled at me. I did it once this year.
You did it every week. That's okay. No. But, Doc, we got to get out of here. I mean, it was a pleasure having Joe Gerchak join us this morning. And it's always a good time when Joe's in the room. And he makes it lively. And he makes events lively that he's officiating. I think the kids really get a kick out of when Joe's there. The fans, as you heard, may not agree with Joe all the time. But the participants, and I can tell you from being one from back in the day, it was always fun when old Reliable, when he was called Reliable Joe, showed up. But we got to get out of here. We got to thank all of our fine sponsors. Of course, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street, the city of Pottsville. Always open online at caclfcu.org. You won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Sick eating turkey? Stop by BG's Value Markets and peruse the aisles upon aisles of grocery savings. Check them out in Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, Minersville. If their hams are any fresher for Christmas,
you'd have to slap them.
Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. Don't forget the full line of dairy products from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice, and the delicious iced tea and fruit drinks product, and the seasonal eggnog.
Mm-mm.
Weekend warrior?
No, I'm the pro.
All right. I wear the same jersey?
Nope. Yes,
you
we
wear
do.
A different
one. We know. We're all on the same team, though, Doc, when it comes to St. Luke's University Health Network.
That's why you want to check them out at ortho.sluhn.org or give them a call, Chaz.
At 1-866-ST-LUKES. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville and translator W290DP Pottsville.